Sister Becky and Brother George Smith published their newsletter, and we received one of them. As a matter of fact, we had two of them, and I gave one to Brother Atlee. But I thought of why I gave it to him, but in this letter, they were talking about, it's an international letter, they were talking about overseas and the missionaries and the different things and their work, what was happening. But in this newsletter, I noticed that on the back of it, it had a picture of Brother George Smith's son, William. As far as I know, that's his son, William. It had a little picture and a little article that said, "What has William got himself into now?" And it was a little lantern sitting over here close by. And the picture, as far as I can tell, was evidently the cave. William had gone out to the cave and they'd gotten a picture kind of the angle like this, a shot. And he was there at the cave. Some of them that saw the cave, that saw the picture, they said it's very definitely the cave. And it does look exactly like the cave. I do know that Brother George found it. We sent somebody up there to show it to him. And he found it, and they're fixing to make a documentary on it. So William, I think they've been in the out in college in the University of California, somewhere back through there, and it has the university written on his shirt of where he's attending the university, but he's there. And I thought that was real striking because he's a very young fella. And I've seen pictures of Brother Branham when he was real young, and here he favors Brother Branham some. And I thought that was real striking. We had spoke of the cave having to do with the resurrection of Brother Branham. And they looked for it all these years and couldn't find it and said it would come and had to do with that typically. And there he stood, in his name being William and the publication being in the thing there is to denote the discovery of the cave. So finding the cave has to do with this little capstone right here and what God is doing. It's really a phenomenal thing as to what is happening today. And of course it happens every day. People who walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, they understand in the Spirit, and they see these heavenly things. As I say so often, the many things that I saw in heaven, they see these things. In the vision, I saw many things in heaven so beautifully. And a few days back when the arm was revealed to me and Sister Betty, the hand come down out of heaven, we spoke about it, as the Bible said, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So right at this time, this little pyramid, this little capstone, it indicates a finished product. That is to say, ye are stones, lively stones, jewels of fire. The Bible speaks of Satan walking among the jewels of fire. And ye are lively stones, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for Almighty God, founded upon the foundation and the principles of the apostolic leaders. And Abraham sought for that city. And the Bible said he confessed that he was a pilgrim and a stranger seeking for a city whose builder and maker is God. In that I've said so often, the cities of the world have no foundations. And John said, I saw the cities of the world crumble to the ground under the mighty impacts of that last earthquake that was so great. And the cities of the world have no foundation because the world hath no foundation. Scientists have discovered that the world is just a little ball floating around out in space like all the other little balls. And it hath no foundation. But this city hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. And he laid the foundations as to the apostolic leaders of the 12 men that he picked. And he said, other foundations can no man lay except these. Paul said that Jesus had laid, and let every man take heed how he build thereupon. If you build hay and stubble upon it, the day will try your work, and the Bible said your works will be burned. So then, we don't want to turn the days of grace into lasciviousness by taking advantage and doing our own evil, wretched thing through life and let these days of grace pass us. While there's blood on the seat of atonement and while there's days of grace, we want to use this for the glory of God. Tell people that they're lost and now's a chance for them to escape the damnation of the eternal judgments of God and to escape the lake of fire. And now is their opportunity. So then we preach this, and the Bible said, hath not our words gone to the ends of the earth, but who hath believed our report? So this little capstone indicates a finished product. It is a finished product. That is to say, these lively stones have been put together by the ministry. built up into this holy priesthood as to pointing toward the Lord God of heaven. And in this, the capstone has come. It has come to capstone these great, wonderful achievements of the church ages, as to coming down to the end when Jesus himself was standing in the midst of the candlesticks, having been Paul at the first. We find it's Christ Jesus in the end, in the midst of the candlesticks, and him being the capstone of the great pyramid city. So we could just go on and go on talking about the mysteries of God. And the more we talk, the deeper the water would get. Like the prophet that waded out in the water, it got up to the ankles and it got up to the knees and it come on up to the waist. And you can launch out into the deep, as Jesus said, and you can let down your nets for a draught, and you can find that this will swallow you up. It is so great and so mighty that the mysteries of God are great. The Bible said, outstanding, unbelievable to the natural. So then, great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm made a steward of those mysteries, Paul said. And we could go on and go on talking about him, because he hath given me much revelation. Paul said in his day there was given unto him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him because of his much revelation. And I can say with Paul that I've been given much revelation. And with much revelation comes much problems, because Satan doesn't stop. He never stopped torturing. He never stops tormenting. He never stops striking. He never stops day nor night. And when you come into the revelational mind of the Lord Jesus, then the devil is right there. Maybe you've never seen him, but I've seen him right there. I've seen him standing behind me. I've seen him stand, you know, in the world, you picture him as having horns. And I've seen him standing right behind me with his horns and his head right over me, just like that. And I've had him to appear to me in many forms, and he's always there to try to devour the child. Just as soon as the child is born, he's caught up to the throne. Everyone that's been born again was caught up to the throne of God. And then the Bible said you are immediately illuminated with a flight of affliction. Satan is right there to strike at that child. As I've said so many times in the world, the children that are being born into the kingdom of God, as to the religious activities of today, Satan is standing right there. Even the old carnal mind. A lot of folks don't like to hear me say this. They like to make this void. But he's standing right there. Right there. And just as quick as that child comes in to God and pulls out of the things of the world and begins to get a good name, he's standing right there. He said, we're going to make a ball player out of you. We're going to make a celebrity out of you. You'll make a good one for the presidency or a senator. And that old red dragon, as to that blood life, as to that mind of Lucifer, that tree of knowledge, that educational diplomacy of life, is waiting right there to grab it. The Bible said in Revelation 12, when the woman brought forth a child, that the dragon was waiting right there to devour it. That old carnal mind is right there in those heavenly places where you are. See, the grace is on everybody today. Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. The blood's on the seat of atonement, which means grace for everybody. And that's why you have healing medicines, as I say to you so often. When grace is lifting, there won't be any healing medicine. Hospitals can't do you any good. Won't be anything that can heal you. You'll gnaw your tongue for pain. Nevertheless, right now, there's grace. Because of grace, that's heaven. And that means that you, as the saints of God, are in heaven. For you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. The Bible said, and hid you with Christ, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. And because of that, then the people that are in the world are in heaven. Where there are ball games and all these kind of things, they are in heaven. Not as to their ball game, but as to them having grace or the blood on the seat of atonement to allow for them to repent of their sins during this period of preaching. And that's why the red dragon was seen in heaven in Revelation 12. That's why the child was seen in heaven. That's why the woman was seen in heaven. Church being in heaven. That's why that at the travail and the birth, which took place in heaven, then the red dragon was waiting there to devour it. But it was at that time that the great angel Michael, the warrior, rose up with his angels and fought against Lucifer and his angels and cast them out of heaven. And there's found no more place in heaven for him, which of course was Calvary. But nevertheless, it comes to pass when we comprehend it. Just like our healings in Calvary, we comprehend it, then it comes to pass. As to this generation, when it's born into the world, this is the only time it can come to pass. But nevertheless, this is as Satan cast out of heaven, and being cast out of heaven right now, this particular time of life shows this thing as the casting out. I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. That's why that little pyramid came in. But anyway, the casting out as to Lucifer at Calvary, comprehended at the end of the church ages, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rending of the veil at Calvary, preached down through the church ages and comprehended the length, the height, the depths as to the benefits of these things. So we know that Lucifer in Revelation 12 shows him cast out into the earth, and with that, all of his angels. So that means that there's coming a time when the blood is coming off of the seat of atonement, and when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, then that means that the people out there in the world won't be in heaven anymore. They won't have any healing medicines anymore. They won't even have any understanding. The Bible said their kingdom will be gross darkness, that is ignorance. Darkness means ignorance. And they'll be in ignorance so that they can't even perfect a healing medicine, because healing is of God. And the only reason there's healing in the hospitals right now is because God has given blood on the seat of atonement. And it is God that has given these things to the people that don't have faith to spare them during the time of the perfecting of the church. And when the church goes out, the Bible says, the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came down, rained down upon them. Because God is angry with the wicked every day. When he gets his people out, being the salt of the earth, then everything's gone. So it is a real outstanding time of life right now for those that can see these things that we're speaking of. And if you look into heaven, you can see these things. Beholding always the things that my Father does, or beholding the face of my Father always. So that means that we're close to the time of the Antichrist and the blood coming off of the seat of atonement. And that with this, the people of the world who have never been born again will be in pain and misery and can't even die. The Bible said death will be lifted and they can't even die out of their misery. There won't even be any way that they can die to get relief. And that's where we're living. And that, of course, has to do with this little capstone. I didn't see so much in that, did you? A lot in that little capstone right there. You have to look close to see it. The light was refracted, and out of that little capstone that cried, "Grace, grace," came all of those glorious rays to the church age and the many hundreds and millions of things that have been said as concerning the church age messengers preaching this in detail to the world. All of that came out of Jesus, for in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God is a spirit, and he dwells fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means he does nothing except he does it through his blood or through him. The world must come to him through the Son of God, through the name Jesus, and by that receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost is God in measure, and you receive the Holy Ghost as to measure whatever measure you want, going on to the full measure, the full stature, going on to the full reward, or whatever measure you would like to have. You can receive him by measure, and that determines as to what member of the body you are, as to what part of the body you are. And I'd love to have the full measure, wouldn't you? I'd love to be one with our Heavenly Father. The Bible said, "Everyone that be perfect shall be as his Heavenly Father. He that overcometh can sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcame and sat down in the throne with my Father." And no man can be above his master, but every man that be perfect can be as his master. I'd like to be as my master. Let's give the Lord a hand. Now, I didn't mean to take so long talking to you. When I take so long talking to you, a lot of times I don't get to preach to you. There's so many things I'd like to say just to exhort you. The Bible said exhort even the more as you see the day approaching. We'd know when it was nigh even at the door, and I can tell it's nigh even at the door right now. You just turn the handle. So we're here to talk about the wonderful things of God. And if I say things that you don't understand, just pray. Ask God to reveal these things to you, because the Bible said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. For God, who is a spirit, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, caught up into heaven." And sometimes we get into things that might seem a little bit deep for folks, and still we have people here that can pretty much understand what we're saying. Chapter 15, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together to a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's reading quite a bit of scripture this morning. I'd like to just comment just a little bit, make mention of just a few things here. One thing, and the 6th vial that's poured out in the 12th verse of the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. If you remember, I said something to you about this, that someday that river would be dried up to make way for the kings of the east, that God would dry it up. And I told you that this was the age of it that was moving in, if you remember. And sure enough, all of a sudden they published that article in the paper that I read to you from the sacred desk, where that they had, because of the shortage of water, they had dammed this thing up all of a sudden. And it was causing such a tremendous stir over in that part of the country. And that they had hemmed it up and would keep it cut off for X amount of months. And use this for electricity, to turn the wheels as to the generators for electricity. And that automatically dries up that river, where the Bible says that it would dry up in this time, in the end of the world. And that all of these great powers as to the armies of the world would walk dryshod over that river to get to Jerusalem, to compass it about. As we use the term that the angel spoke to Daniel concerning the boycott of the armies of the world, and how that they would compass the cities of Jerusalem about. And Jesus in Matthew 24 said, when you see these cities compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And so then they have to come in a boycott. We spoke about that, and how that the armies of the world would boycott together. And do you remember how that Gorbachev wanted to boycott the armies? That's one of the things he wants to do. I said, and then in one single command, they'll go in around Jerusalem. And the Bible said, compass the city of Jerusalem to bring about what Daniel called the abomination of desolation. And Daniel said, when you see the city compassed about, you know the end of the world is there. All right. So then we know that we're right here at the end of the world. Everything is working toward that. And we know that the end of the world is here. Let me say this. Vicki Snyder's mother, we're glad to have Sister Vicki and Brother Snyder. They've come to be children of God here with us. And the mother and daddy and grandmother are here. I knew there's somebody else here, but I couldn't get it to register this morning. But we're glad to have these people that's sitting right back here that came down from Ohio. I guess, I believe he tells me he was born there. He and I had a little fellowship and said he was born there, but I kept talking to him, and he kept talking like he might become a Bethlehemite. Let's give these folks a hand. We appreciate these folks. Really appreciate having these people with us, and certainly appreciate their fine son-in-law and daughter, and the little ones. All right. So then we see that this river, this has come to pass. Now, I want you to notice another thing. Is we just talked to you just a few minutes since we started off talking to you this morning. Maybe won't holler at you much. It says here, and after that I looked, this is the 5th verse of the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now, When you read things like that, it completely loses you. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. See, it says, "And after that I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open." Now, if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find a tabernacle that was made out of skin. This is the tabernacle it's referring to. That tabernacle was a type of the heavenly tabernacle, which is New Jerusalem. And we have things here where we've taught explaining these skins out of which it was made. Each one of those skins denoted something and represented something. And the tabernacle itself in the wilderness represented the body of the Lord Jesus. You can take and break it down and you'll find the different parts of the body of the Lord Jesus. And these skins represented certain things like being dyed red or whatever it was, the wool and all these things. So then that represented the tabernacle, even New Jerusalem. In this, it said, "I look, and the temple of the tabernacle." Now, the Bible speaks of you being the temple of the living God. So, you say, where then is the tabernacle? Because you're members of the body in particular, and the mystery shows that you are part of the tabernacle, because he is the tabernacle. Peter says, as long as we're in this tabernacle, it's referring to the first, which means Jesus came in the likeness of sin as the tabernacle in the wilderness of the intellectual wandering of the carnal mind. And so then we are members in particular. So it said the temple of the tabernacle. Now, as to the temple of the tabernacle, we're looking inwardly at the Holy Ghost, whereas we're looking at the spiritual members as to the Holy Ghost, which is you on the inside of this tabernacle. So as a body, soul, and a spirit, we're looking now at this tabernacle. God had showed these things to Moses in the mount and said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount." So here he's made these things accordingly, and he said, Aaron, as a high priest, a type of the Holy Ghost, to go into this and officiate. Bring it on over to Calvary now and look at it spiritually. Here is the Holy Ghost. Aaron been a type of the Holy Ghost. When the veil was rent in twain as to the tabernacle, that is to say, as to the temple, then the Holy Ghost went right in to officiate. He officiated. And in that the veil was rent in twain, and we say Jesus made himself twain, that is to say, too, the veil rent in twain, that is to say, the separation of the body from the spirit, in that he made in himself both Lord and Christ. The Lord was taken from the Christ. And we explained that on tape as to the mystery. But anyway, going on with our thought here, when that veil was rent in twain, then you also was rent in twain, in that there's a body and there's a spirit. And the body of this death, as Paul referred to it, is folded up and laid away by the crucifixion of Jesus. It hath no more power over you as sinful flesh. And now you're free from that, and your spirit went back to God who gave it at death. So the Bible said, "Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven." You're not of this world. Well, God has chosen you out of this world and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heaven have received until the restoring of all things. So then we see that with the rending of the veil as to this body, then the Holy Ghost went in through that rent veil, and today he's inside of you. He returned at Pentecost. He came. He went into the church. He's on the inside of you. And the Bible said if any person, any body, denies that Christ, the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside of a human body, that man or woman is Antichrist. So we know that we're not Antichrist because we know it says he lives in us. And now, beloved, are you the sons of God? And now on the inside you have this life of Christ and you have the Holy Ghost himself already on the inside of you. All right, so we see what is being said here, the temple of the tabernacle. What is the temple of the tabernacle? We know that the tabernacle was just one big tabernacle, as we would make it like a tent. And yet we know that it was divided into two parts. And one place was called the holy place. As to the first part in the outer courts where the fence was around the tabernacle, the outer courts, you come into that tabernacle, you're in the holy place. When you got into the holy place, the first thing that you saw over there in the holy place was the cherub curtains here that divided this holy place from the holies of holies, the most holy place, which was a little 10 by 10 or something. And the other maybe a 10 by 20 or something like this. So then it was divided, and right at these curtains that was closed, the high priest himself going in there just once a year for the atonement of sin. Here in the front of this, you see a little table, a little altar, that is. And this little altar, it's put there to have the coals of fire that the priest picks up to put in the vials to the censers when he goes in, that when he goes in past these curtains, it denotes the rent veil, as to the rending of the veil. That little thing is called the temple of the tabernacle. And that's why it's used here, and after I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle and of the testimony in heaven was open. The testimony, what is the testimony? It's inside the temple. It is the ark of the covenant where the cherubs have their wings over the mercy seat, where the blood from the lamb would be put when Aaron would take it from the outer courts, bring it into the holy place where his sons, the priests, could come, and then he would leave them there, having put on their beautiful garment, as the Bible said, Zion, put on your beautiful garment, that is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with that beautiful garment, holding us unto the Lord on the little mitre up here, and the little pomegranates hanging around, and the little bells dingling and jingling, he would go in because these cherubs would be brought back. Now, we brought this out to you. Paul spoke of the covering cherub. The covering cherubs, he said, of which I cannot speak particular, or we cannot speak particular even now, even in his day, which we brought out some things in a more particular way in our day, because we're well not here now toward the end of the world. And see, we spoke of the covering cherubs and what they had to do with Calvary. So here is the proof of it. See, these covering cherubs is these curtains. And all of a sudden, these covering cherubs are separated, which indicates that the fall of mankind came because of that. Man and woman symbolically shows these cherubs, and the child comes from these, that his life is covered by these covering. Whereas we spoke of the covering of God, you cover with the covering but not of God. And we spoke of what this had to do with as to this covering, that Adam and Eve was without when the Lord came into the garden. That it didn't have to do with clothes. It was only clothes symbolic. See, and so the veil was rent in twain. Now here's the high priest going into the temple, which is inside of the tabernacle, the little place where the Ark of the Covenant is. As he goes into the temple, then he comes to the Ark of the Covenant. So then we know then, it says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle. We know what that is now. And we know what the tabernacle is now. And the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. We know now what the testimony is. The testimony in heaven was open. So then we know what that is. That's a symbolic thing there shown to us in the wilderness, that we might understand that wonderful thing of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that outwardly he was made in the image of sin, which was the tabernacle, and that inwardly he had the Holy Ghost, that on the inside Christ was inside of him. So that when we went into this tabernacle, we enter into this temple as to the holy place, inside of the tabernacle, that is. But we go into the holies of holies as what is really referred to as the temple. So there's a place on the inside of you that is really the temple. There's three things concerning you, and that is your body, the Spirit of Christ, and your spirit. On the inside, or we refer to it as a soul. And the Bible says there's a continual warfare between the body and the soul all the time. There's a voice speaking to you inwardly saying, be holy and be godly, for I am holy. And have eternal life and have the love of God. And let me give you all things that pertain unto life. And let me let you live forever. And then there's another voice says, let's go to the ball game. Let's go to the movies. Turn on the TV. Let's live it up. Let's have a frolic. Let's party. Let's drink. Let's gullibly desire the things of the world. Let's make money. Let's have a business. Let's be a celebrity. Let's be in the world. Let's get into the groove, as they say, into the trend of life. See, and so Satan's mind is after that body. And the Bible speaks of the dispute of the body, this continual dispute over that body. See, a continual dispute. It kind of reminds you somewhat of a man, you know, he marries a woman, there's a dispute between him and the family over that body. When he first marries, it's just a problem, mother-in-law, daddy-in-law. Oh, it's a problem, you know, and it's just a continual dispute as to who owns that body. But see, the mother, daddy doesn't own that body. It is the man that owns that wife. And it is the body that belongs to the man, because the Bible said they are one flesh, and speaks to the man and says, for this, even the man must forsake his mother, his daddy, his parents, and cleave to his wife and to be one with his wife. He cannot put his mother and daddy before his wife. Neither can the wife put the mother and daddy before the man, because they're one. See, but the dispute of the body is there. And it is as to law, because the man is married to her not as to law, but she is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Speaking of the church in Christ now. See, and the body being type of the church. So then, here they are together, they are one. But as to the mother and the daddy, that is the in-laws. You see what I'm saying? That goes to the law part. That is the in-laws. And here is the war between the, like the law when it comes to Calvary, here is the law. Jesus, he goes to Calvary and there's the law. See, but that law must be folded up and laid away. And so it comes to pass, sooner or later you fold up the daddy, the mother, you lay them away, and then the man, the woman's over here by themselves. See, and they're gone with their family. God has made age so that it will bring this to pass. See, because the law must be, of necessity, folded up and laid away that this life may continue, that the next generation may come on, that we might multiply and replenish the earth. All right, so then we know then what this temple, this tabernacle, and this thing is. The rent veil. Christ has gone on to the inside. And there's the temple of the testimony. For if a man can believe in his heart, and if he can confess with his mouth, he believeth in his heart unto righteousness, and with his mouth he makes a confession unto salvation. The Bible said, then it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then we realize that this is a great thing. And if we had about 5 or 10 hours to elaborate on it this morning, we could bring out the details and make you to understand very clearly what we're saying. But many of you heard, you've heard messages and you put it all together, and then there's tapes of the mysteries that you can go back and talk about. But this is bringing us now to the capstone, crying, grace, grace, grace. So then it's from Calvary over to the end of the church ages. It's still the same thing. For Calvary is where Lucifer is cast out. And Revelation 12 is shown the casting out of the dragon, the red dragon. For Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So then we know that when he said it's finished, he said, and time, we sing that song, and time shall be no more, no more, no more, and time shall be no more. And he said, it is finished. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time. So then in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to gather them, everything, into Christ. As Noah, the Bible said, this is as the waters of Noah to me, gathered all things into Christ Jesus. God gathered everything into Christ Jesus. As the ark of Noah, it was Christ Jesus. That was a type of the body. When the wrath of God as to the rain was to come, all of a sudden God had this door open, had this ark, and everything went into the ark. I told you that even the creeping things went in. Well, when you come over to Calvary and you look for this in Revelation, here's the door that's open in the side, as it was with Moses on the cleft of the rock. God put him in the cleft of the rock. Jesus being a rock, the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? So he severed it, opened the cleft in the rock. Even Christ Jesus, when they speared him in the side and the water of the blood came forth, and Jesus said, lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, or that is, he must be born of the blood of Jesus. Having that as remission of sin, that represents baptism of fire. You can't be saved. See, and so then in the cleft of the rock, for the Bible said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are saved. So then we're baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, that we might receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit or life or the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost being the Spirit of Christ, the only form of life and the only ghost that is holy. So then we see what is said concerning this in John when he called it the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of the mysteries as to what the ark is, as the tabernacle, as to what it is, as to the testimony, as to what it is, and as to the age that we're living in and what it is. And it's the same thing in so many words that Daniel saw. When Daniel saw these great visions, and it was said unto him, seal it up, for it is for the time of the end. And Daniel sealed the vision. He couldn't understand it. But after Calvary, the rent veil is no longer sealed. The seals are then loosed. Jesus loosed them. And then the Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, because this great revelational thing as to giving life, my words are spirit and life, those words that have been natural words as to being spoken, they've now become life. All of a sudden, they have now become life, and these things that have been spoken as a word, as a law of the letter, and that the Bible said, and the letter killeth, speaking of the law, unto death, sin getting its strength by the law as to the letter, and it killed us. And so then we reckon ourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, because God brought Jesus, took Jesus' life, that Brother Pike and you might be dead, and that is dead unto sin and alive unto God in the Spirit, for God is the Spirit. So then we find that this great veil has been rent. It's been rent. And the Bible said to make a new way, to give a more sure word of prophecy. Bring the true light. Now it shineth. That is to say, within his flesh, to rend, as to make within himself twain, body and spirit. Our Lord in Christ, and rend and twain are separate in two. See, and now we are the part that has been rent on this side of Calvary, that is spirit, that is life, that is free from sin. And the others that are without, that have never been born again, are numbered with the Jews whom God rejected, that went out into darkness to show the death of the body and the wrath of God. And they are on the other side, and they are not in heaven, but they are in the earth. And Lucifer is now cast out, even at Calvary. And the Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you, and he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is to say, when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, Satan is no more in heaven. The people that follow Satan are no more in heaven, for the Spirit of God, which is heaven, is lifted, and their environment is gone. And I say this a lot of times, and I say it again this morning. You people that are out in the world that hear me when I say these things, you're in heaven right now. And I know you don't believe that. Even if I preach that the children of God are in heaven, that'll be real repulsive to you, and you'll fight against that and say the man's a madman. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. But nevertheless, they are, and you are too. But you're not going to stay in heaven, because the red dragon and his angels were cast out of heaven. See, there's a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. And we take time sometimes to tell you what heaven you're in. But you're in heaven. I say this again. You may not think you're in heaven, but when you get in hell, then you'll know that you've been in heaven. Once God puts you in hell in the lake of fire, you'll look back and you'll say, my God, I was in heaven. Because right now, if you have a little pain, you can run to the dentist and you get a shot. You can run to the doctor. There's a medication. All these kind of things. You eat, drink, you laugh, you talk, you revel, you do what you want to. See, because it is heaven. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. When the grace lifts, when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, there won't be any hospitals, there won't be any dentists as to take away the pain, there won't be any healing medicine, because that is out there because the presence of God is here, and the presence of God is here because the saints are here. And the Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained the fire and brimstone down. Read it in Revelation 8, when the seventh seal is open, immediately in Revelation 8, that angel walks over to that little altar that I spoke of. That's right before these cherub curtains that's inside of the holy place. Right before the Holy of Holies, which is the temple. And he walks over. He picks up the hot coal. He takes the little censer. He does the very same thing that Aaron did as Aaron went in to rend the veil through the curtains denoting Jesus. Rending the veils, going into the heavenlies. Coming from heaven, going back to heaven. And so then he goes in, he takes this, but it is the prayers of the saints. And the Bible said the prayers of the saints are bottled up as sweet smelling incense before God. And he reaches and gets one of these bottles of saying, how long, O Lord? Or saying, my God, help me, my enemies are overwhelming me. And he reaches and gets the prayer. He drops one of these little coals of fire that denotes the word of the Lord. And that God is a consuming fire. And in the beginning was God, and God was the Word. God's a consuming fire. In this goes, he sent his word and healed him. By his word he cast out the unclean spirit. This coal of burning, he drops it in. And when he does, then all of a sudden this beautiful, beautiful vapor, sweet smelling vapor, it comes up. In that in the days of Aaron, back there in the days of Moses. They made this perfume that no one could make. If they made it, they were cut off from the tribe. And this perfume mixed with this coal to fire that Aaron would take would give such a sweet aroma. And then this billow would come up as a cloud. For the Bible said, and he shall return in that great cloud. And we shall behold him. John speaks of him as returning in a cloud. And this was Christ. As to the Holy Ghost, or this was Jesus. The veil is to the heavens being rent. And all of a sudden him appearing in the heaven. And Aaron would go on the inside. And this mist would fill this little temple. His train filled the temple. And so then this would fill the temple because it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It smelled so sweet, and it was a beautiful vapor. And Aaron was caught within this vapor to where the wrath of God could not get to him, because he was taking the blood of the Lamb, to appease God, putting it between the covering cherubs with a beautiful, colorful wing on top of the little ark that had been made like a bulrush as to which Moses was found in, laying it on top of this beaten gold work. It was beaten, even as Jesus' body was beaten. This gold had to be beaten, being a symbol of him. So he'd take this blood in, he'd put it on the mercy seat. As long as that blood was on the mercy seat, everything was fine. Now, he had to do this. It had to be a regular thing. And he had to do this out of the 10th day of the 7th month. He had to do this once a year. But every time he did this, it brought sin back to God's remembrance. And it upset the Lord. But he had to do this, the blood of bulls and goats. Whereas the Bible tells us in the coming of the Lord Jesus that blood of bulls and goats could never make a comer thereunto clean. And he said in these people that was before Calvary, they rest in their lot. They could not enter into the paradise of God after death. But they rest in their lot because they could not be made perfect without us. Paul refers to it. And so then they could not come forth. Neither could Daniel get beyond the veil as to the opening of the seal to see what John saw as to the revelation when John went beyond the veil after Calvary, and that the veil was rent at Calvary. So the opening of the curtains on the great drama, the last one. So then we see that that was the capstone. With this, if Aaron returned quickly, if he went in and he come back quickly and told the people that everything was all right, nothing to worry about. If he returned quickly. They knew when they saw him coming out, before he ever said a word, that all was well. Because he returned quickly. He went in to the temple, he returned quickly. But if he tarried, as it was with John Baptist, his father, tarrying for a long time, they knew some strange phenomenon had taken place as to a visitation of an angel, or something wasn't right. Now, I've said this before, Jesus went away. As the Holy Ghost, he went away, and within 10 days, he returned quickly. And he came back to the people at Pentecost, and he's living in your temple today. It is Christ, Aaron. He is officiating within the temple today. But with the people of the world, he didn't return quickly. He hasn't returned yet. The many hundreds of years have gone by and he hasn't returned, and they're still saying he's coming. He's coming. But folks, let me tell you, when he does come, it's going to be wrath on the world. He's going to burn the world. He's going to pour out his wrath on the world because he's tarrying long, which means wrath upon them. That's not well with them. See, so we can rejoice and we can have a good time in the Lord because he returned quickly unto you and I. But he's still tarrying, and when he comes, it'll be like a blaze of fire when he comes in his fury. And the Bible said, God will come as a consuming fire and devour his adversaries. So we see that this is a great thing here, where John sees this in Revelation as this temple being opened, which refers back to Calvary. So it's just a few short years after Calvary that John is exiled to this little isle of Patmos off of the coast of Asia Minor. And here he sees these things because it's just a few years after Calvary. See, and it's in 96 A.D. and John is seeing these things. See, and about 33 A.D., these things back there was taking place. Now over here, just a few short years later, John sees these things, which means the revelation of Jesus Christ is the rent veil of Calvary that made the expose to the testimony that's in the temple. For the Bible says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see that with the revelation of Jesus Christ, when this heaven was open, the Bible said that the heavens rolled back And the stars fell from heaven as a fig tree that shaketh off the untimely figs. So then we see the fall of Lucifer as the untimely figs. We see the heavens rolling back as it was with Jesus as to the veil being rent in twain. And then we see the expose as to that which is made manifest as the Christ, which is in the world today, as to the preaching of the gospel and the healing and the deliverance and the casting out of evil spirits and all these things, that the blessings of God have come, and now the kingdom of God is in the world today. For the Bible said the law and the prophets was until John, and then after that, the kingdom of God is here. And men press their way into the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Your intellectual philosophy as to your diplomacies of life are enmity with God. And to be carnally minded is death. But when you become spiritual minded, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. When you become spiritual minded, and that he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Then when you pray, the spirit of Christ comes inside of you. And then you see heavenly things, and then you see spiritual things, and then you're no longer this world. The flesh is now dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus, and you're alive unto the things of God. So then we understand that of a certainty that we are free, but the world is not free. They're in bondage, and we are they that dwell in the place with God that's called heaven. But they are they that will be put out altogether and be in the darkness and in the intellectual anguish that's coming upon them, to where they'll gnaw their tongues and curse God, and the heat will scorch them. Remember what I told you about the heat. And the Bible says that this heat will be so fierce that it will scorch men. It will literally scorch their body. As you can see, I just come back from the Bahamas, and just that sun over there, one time out in the boat, and the Sister Betty and I, we just about got scorched. So it's pretty hot as it is. But this is going to be so severe that it's going to scorch men, burn them so bad that they're going to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus. And already, they say that the ozone has been eaten up by the gases that they're putting in as Freon or whatever in the coolers. And already that's in between is being eaten up because it is symbolic of the veil. And the veil has to be rent in twain. For as long as the veil is there, there is a protection to the earth. But in that it's been rent at Calvary, once this generation comprehends the rending of the veil, then all of that that's in between you and that fire, that day star, which is a burning fire, which represents God, all that veil that cools those things down as to his wrath, as to the blood of Jesus, we say, being on the seat of atonement, all of that will be gone. And then the fierceness of the sun will come down upon you. Scientists say it will heat up 7 times and then go away into a nova. And sure enough, the Bible bears it out that the light was sevenfold. There at the end of the church ages, Jesus was standing in the midst of these 7 candlesticks. That was a flame. And so then, sevenfold, that is to say, the light, the understanding of God, the message, has to compound itself as to take all 7 church age messengers as what was to every generation. And like scientists has compound through their studies, and one man has become brilliant 7 times as to the past studies of other men through the years, so that these people of this age enter into, the Bible said, other man's labors. And so then you are reaping the fullness of a diplomacy from God as to a graduation unto eternal life, and to be about your Father's business, to have this wonderful thing of all things that pertain unto life, like the vision we saw where you were over in the millennium. So we understand then that the heat is coming because the sevenfold light is to your understanding that will supersede the church and all the intelligence of the world. See, this, the Bible says, higher above your understanding than the heavens is the earth, but God reveals us unto babes that will learn, having hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made it revelation. So then we get into this revelation, we receive this wonderful thing, then we balloon out, as we say. And we become illuminated, and then we become activated with the power and the Spirit of God, and then we're translated. The church goes out, just like the sun moves away into a nova, the church goes out. It moves away from the earth, and immediately the fire and brimstone come, because when the veil is rent in twain, that is the catching up of the Lord Jesus as to represent the church. When the church goes out, all of a sudden the fire of the indignation of God comes, and the whole world is under this severeness. Well, anyway, as I said, it says, and the fig tree shook itself, the untimely figs fell, which means the stars fell from heaven. Look at Calvary, you'll see that. When the Jews over there, when Jesus said something to the fig tree and it couldn't bear again, and you remember how he refers to the Jew as the fig tree, and when the figs was not there, he cursed the tree, and so then the Jews went out of his presence. He said at that same time, according to history, the Sanhedrin was trying to counsel of how they would destroy the Lord Jesus. So then the Jews went out as a type of that, as to the body rejection, Jesus being the head of it, being born among the Jews. But then came the Christ, which is here today. And then came the Christian, which is Christ-like, which is the true Jew. So then Christ is here now, the kingdom of God, and the true church, as to the true Jew. And the natural Jew become a scapegoat, went away in the wilderness, they killed their own head, they died. Having to do with the smiting of the head of the serpent. And that would get into too much to bring that out this morning. But some of you know that we bring these things out concerning this on tape. But I will say this of it. And that is that the thing that happened over in the islands during the Bahamas, and the thing that's happening about the pyramid, and the thing that happened about the cave, and this time of life shows the expulsion and the casting out of Lucifer, the old red dragon and the serpent, which means the end of blood life and the old intellectual generation of vipers. See what the viper is. When we think of the viper, we think of him altogether different from what God does. When God thinks of the viper, he thinks of the garden and Eve and Adam that let that mind get into them, and then they become the viper. They become the snake. They become the dragon. And so when the Bible refers to the red dragon, it's speaking of blood life as the reproduction as to men and women mating together, which come through the fall. And so then he says, and the old red dragon, as the blood life was spilt at Calvary. So Jesus became as the dragon, being lifted up in the wilderness as the serpent, that people might look upon that serpent, even the brazen serpent. So then that the serpents that bit, as to the spirits, would have no effect on them. So Jesus was lifted up as that brazen serpent. And I bring it out to you how the head of that serpent was to be smitten by the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman, of course, Jesus coming forth, but he come forth in the image as to that of the man. That is to say, of, not of the woman, because he was smitten as the seed of the serpent. He was smitten as sin. And the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so then the crown of thorns went upon Jesus' head, because he hung there as a serpent. And it was the woman's seed, as to the Christ on the inside, picking up that body, taking it to Calvary, and bruising the head of the serpent. So then we esteem him smitten of God. That is to say, the church smiting the head of the serpent. Now, in this, we realize that there is a generation of vipers in the world today. John said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Said, you generation of vipers. And then Jesus referred to them as a generation of vipers. And then the Bible said he put the old serpent on his belly. That is, this generation of vipers, the Bible said, all of their labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them, and their mouth craves it of them. So then all of their money making, all of their businesses, all of their education, all of the things of life center around one thing, and that is to feed their belly, because they are a generation of snakes, and their bite is deadly, and the mind of deadliness is on the inside of them, as to the mind of Lucifer. And that is a generation of vipers. And John came and laid the axe to the root of the tree, that he might cut down that family tree, all the way from Calvary back to the garden, to do away with the entirety of the generation of vipers. So then the law was folded up and laid away, and all them that was under the law was then dead, except those that were predestinated in Christ, as to rest in their lot, as it was with Daniel, until the coming of the seed as to whom the promise was made, that is to say, Christ Jesus. So then the door was open at Calvary. That means that when we read to you about the beast, We read it right here where he speaks of this, and he speaks of the beast. Now, speaking of the beast, then who is the beast? It's you and you and you who are not born again. If you're not born again, if you're not elect, then ye are the beast. Even as we're bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of the body of the Lord Jesus, so are you bone of bone and flesh of the flesh of the beast. And the Bible said beast, and some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Scientists traces your origin back to the beast. And from the beast in the garden it comes. And from the carnal mind comes death. To be carnally minded is death. When you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And you that follow the diplomacies of life as to the old educational system still die. But ye that follow Christ, the Bible said, all of a good understanding that follow after Christ Jesus. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. He didn't try to make a reputation of himself. He just become humble. Wash the servant's feet. Now, I said all those things to say this, that you are the beast. But the Bible said everyone that had overcome the beast, everyone that overcometh I will give to him as to the revelation of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give to him eternal life. And I will write my new name upon his forehead. So then you that are in the world, you're the beast. You follow after the beast. The old viper. The old beast in the garden that was put on his belly as a serpent. See, and you fall after that, and all of your labors for that, and all you desire of the world is to be part of the world. When the Bible says the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. See, and you're after all these things, and you fall after all these things, and the Bible said the Gentiles fall after all these things, but salvation is of the Jew, and we are the true Jew. So then the world out yonder is following after all of those things, and they are the beast. And they're going to head up in the beast. They started with the beast in the garden. And they're going to head up in the beast as the number 666 in the end. Like the man that came over Gorbachev with the mark in his head. He's swallowing up the world. And right here in the end of the world, when we spoke of all these things as to the calendar date. Showing you by the calendar that time is running out. And everything is just right for the coming of the Lord. Just right for the church to go out. See, the going out of the church and the coming of the Lord will be a simultaneous thing. It'll all happen at the same time. So then, that means they that are in the world will be left. But we who are in God will be caught up to meet Him. So shall we ever be with the Lord in the air. The Bible said, console the church with these words. All right, let me find a place to close and say in just a few more words here. But you that are the beast, you go after the beast. And you follow after the beast. And the Bible said all the world wondered after the beast. Let's enumerate some things. Let's look at it and see if they're following after the beast. The beast is the flesh. The Bible said sinful flesh. God abhors flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And the Bible teaches that God abhors this world. For the world shall pass away and all that's in it shall pass away. For all that's of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And God will do away with it, and he'll bring a new earth, a new heavens, wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new world for you that are new people. But anyway, let's look at it. What is it that they wonder after? The beast. They wonder after passions of intermingling a sinful, unadulterous generation. See, the beast wonder after that. That was the first thing in the garden, found naked. They wonder after that. Today, they're naked. We're in a nude world. Traveling everywhere. People have killed their conscience, got past feeling, and they go naked. And you know the bad part is that the church, the Pentecostal people, that would never have done a thing like that in years past, they have these reprobate preachers that's after money and prestige and fame and popularity that's trying to educate them to get into the center to something so that they can bring a little prestige to the church. And these reprobate men, being ministers of the devil, have transformed their minds, as Paul said, the renewing of the mind, to preach the word of light. Or into ministers of the word, which is light. And they are telling these people that they can dress out in their bathing suits, dressing out in shorts and halters and these kind of things is part of the church. That's part of the church. That's part of the way of life now. And these things. And they have turned them into an adulterous generation. And that is the beast. That is the beast. So what do they wonder after? They wonder after all of these things, being deceived. They wonder after money. They wonder after prestige. They wonder after position. They wonder after eating and drinking and buying and selling and owning and having all these kind of things. Reveling and partying. They wonder after the paint and the powder, to paint their faces with, the hang rings in their ears and all of this excess jewelry on their hands and their neck, around their necks, and gold chains and everything that the world has. The body wants it because it is the beast. And Satan prompts the body to do it because Satan lives in the body, and Satan wants to project himself with his gold chains and his bracelets and his rings and his fine automobiles and houses and prestige and education and philosophy. All of this, in the Bible said, all of the world wondered after the beast. So you can tell that all the world's going after it. All of them's going after it. And it'll head up in the head of that beast, which is the man with the 666. In Revelation, the war, Lucifer was cast out. He immediately personified himself in someone in the earth. And the number 666, strangely enough, as we say so often, that is the number of the papacy of Rome. Strangely enough, Vicaris Filii Dei, which means instead of God, is numerically broke down 666. And the Bible says, let him that hath understanding count the number, for it's the number of a man. And the strange thing is that right now they're talking about doing away with this IRS thing the way it is. As to this tax evasion, they can't do anything about it. Everybody's evading one way or another. So they decided, as we say, to bring in a sales tax. And that way they can trap them to where they cannot evade these things. And with that, narrow it down. They're already talking about doing this. Narrow that thing down to where it will be beneficial, to where there'll be no tax evasion. And the only way they'll ever do that is with a laser, as to put that number in their hand. They've already got that number on the food. I've told you this before. Check the little marks, the little line work, and if you'll check it, certain lines mean certain things, and it's 666. It's already on your food, and now they're narrowing it down to one numerical order as to money. You know, you can't serve mammon and God, and money is mammon, and you that love to stack that away and have it, that means it's your God, so you get your whole pile of it, you're going to need it. But the Bible said, when God rejects you, make friends of the unrighteous mammon, which is money, that you'll be taken care of during that time, said, because he'll reject you. All right, so then, we see the church isn't like that. They're giving their all. In the early days, they sold all that they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet. They invested it in God, and then they got it back as a reward in heaven, to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. But wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. And these put all of their treasures in heaven. They confess their sins. Now their sins go on to the judgment. God judges them in mercy. These others keep everything they got to the gullible desire to save their life. And the Bible says, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for his sake, then you save it. As to help the widow, the orphan, the hungry, whatever it might be in the publication of the gospel. But at any rate, they are back there with unconfessed sin. And this sin has to come to the judgment when they go to face God. And of course, they're judged and they're condemned to death. All right, so then we see that this thing that's coming in, it's going to bring in the mark of the beast, and it's right on the people right now, because the end of the world is here, and we could say a whole lot about that. It's on tape. We won't try to get into those things, but I will repeat this, that when the heat comes, it will melt the snow caps over in Siberia and Alaska and those places. And it will run down into water and run back to its originality as to the place it came from. All the snow on the mountains of Colorado. Rick called the other day and said, I can see the snow-capped mountains of Colorado. All that water will run back down, because when the flood came and that water lifted up, it covered every high hill under heaven, and it froze into ice caps and caused the world to tilt over. And when the world was tilted over, God did that. It took a little while to explain why it's like that. And that's why you're one-sided today as to the flesh. But it's got to come back upright. And when man comes back upright, it'll come back upright. And when the church goes out, that signifies that man's come back upright. And all of that fertile ground under the sea will come up to bring in that millennium. And all of these mountains and things that you're looking at now that once was under the water will go back under the water. And this world will be destroyed that you're looking at. So then, all of that water will melt down. Will this heat, sevenfold, the ozone, melting away? It's going to bring enough heat that it'll melt all of that, run it back to where it was. When it goes back like that, it'll be upright again. So we're on the verge of that, because just recently they gave a little article, even after we'd said this, they gave a little article that said that in the last 130 years that the temperature had steadily increased, and that now at this time every recording in the world, the paper stated, shows that it has increased, and it has been a tremendous increase in some places, like in Siberia and Alaska. It went up 25 degrees. So you know that them snow caps, them ice caps, we've been over there in Norway, we've seen them, we've been by the Arctic Circle, they're going to have to melt down. They're going to have to come down, folks. So that means that everything is at an end. Let's stand together. Appreciate your attention. Didn't mean to keep you so long. Maybe since it's Father's Day, I just took a little extra liberty as a father. I've got children, and not only children here, but we've got children around the world. So this little pyramid, so beautiful. I thank you for it. The all-seeing eye was to come when the church was sealed in. You know what we preach about life and death. Preach about you. He that is born of God cannot sin. When these things are revealed, remember? And then the all-seeing eye was to come, which was Christ himself. So then, I appreciate this. This is beautiful. Well, let Sister Betty come up here, if you will, and get this. And she can take care of this for me. It is a beautiful jewel. Every way it turns, it shows that rainbow of the refracted light to each church age. You love the Lord? All right, let's give the Lord a hand, can we? Clap your hands, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All right, let's sing this, Brother Taylor. The writer said, I thank God for his marvelous grace. There's room at the cross for you. The altars are open while we sing. There's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Can you sing that with me? For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Can you sing another chorus or two with me before we go? The world seems cold, and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. for you. Can you sing that with me? Someone to care. There is someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares. Can you sing that chorus with me? There is someone who cares. There is someone who'll share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. Can you sing I love him? I love him. I love you. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Let's sing this little chorus. It grows sweeter each day. Sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter. Prolong life's way. Garden, I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day. Sing it with me. Growing sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. God's grow sweeter, prolong life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grow sweeter each day. Don't it make you feel good to know that you're going to live forever? I stand here before you and I think I'll never die. Never die. I can never, never, never die. But I'm eternal to live forever. And the Bible said, you pass from death into life, shall never come into condemnation, but you shall live eternally live and rule and reign as a king, and to have all things that pertain unto life, all of the wealth and blessings and strength, all of the glory and power and youth of all of His majesty to live forever. And to think that some people like Judas do the thing he done. Trade it for less than 30 pieces of silver. It's hard to get a hold of, isn't it? To think that as loving and kind as he was, giving his blood at Calvary, taking the stripes upon his back, and then somebody would trade him for the unrighteous mammon. To be a celebrity, to watch the fiction of TV, to read the distorted things in magazines and newspapers, and to follow the world of frolics, like the old Indian death walk. People that do things in the world, they just do it over and over. Over and over, they do it. They're in a rut. Everything that they've done yesterday, they'll just do today. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And like an old hog that's watered in the mire before, they go back. The Bible said the sow, after she's been washed, she goes back to her wallowing in the mire. And the old dog goes back to the lapping of his vomit. He spews it up and he goes back. And Jesus said, all of those that are without, that will not have God, are dogs and they're swine. But you're blessed, eternal children of God, eternally alive forevermore. Let's sing this little chorus everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, can you sing one more time? Everybody ought to know. Everybody, you know, if you really believe that, you ought to help herald this gospel to the ends of the world. For he, and peace that bright morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody up to know. Can you lift your hands up with me and close your eyes? The altars are open. If you've never made things right with God, now's the time. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And if you've never made that commitment, you need to make it. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him while he's near. Soon the blood will be off of the mercy seat. Call upon him while he's nigh. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Let's sing this little chorus together. Remember Calvary? And that was the end of the world. We sang this so often. You're just now being born in as your generation to know about it and comprehend it. But that's where it all ended. Peter said, in his day, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And Jesus said, it is finished. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, was under the law, to gather all things in heaven and earth into the body of the Lord Jesus. And that great deluge came, and though you're not aware of it as of yet, that's because men have not comprehended it yet. But it'll be that great flood of God's wrath just as soon as the church ages close out, because that's what the days of Noah was about. There will be a new earth, all come out of the ark, even the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing that with me? Lift your hands up. The Bible said in Revelation 10 and 7, place one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Even the angel whose head was high into the heavens and the rainbow was about his head, raised his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. Calvary being fulfilled, at last it came to pass, and here we are in the end of the world. And time shall be no more. Let's sing again now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Jesus said, it is finished. And time, he raised his hands to heaven and he said, Heavenly Father, it is finished. It is finished. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Once again now, and time. Remember the fullness of time, the end of the world. You pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. The old heart of stone is rolled away. We sang that song, He's risen, the stone is rolled back. Sire came and made an end of sin 483 years, and now you're in the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets, and then the kingdom of God, and men pressed their way into it. And God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And now, beloved, are ye the sons of God, having passed from death unto life. And ye are they that dwell in heaven with the Lord. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. Cannot sin. The evil one toucheth you not. You keep yourself. He toucheth you not. And so then, Revelation 10 and 7, in the days of the voice of the mystery should be finished. And reward, Revelation 11, he shall give unto his holy prophets and the holy men of God. the midst of being finished, what will be the discovery? We'll discover a lot of things in the finishing of the mysteries. We'll discover a lot of things that's been said, that you passed from death unto life. It's been a mystery before, but not anymore. You know that you're alive forevermore. A mystery? You sin no more. He that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because the seed, Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, remaineth in him. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not, never, at any time, never, even before the foundation of the world, never has Satan ever touched you. But this was given to you in foreknowledge, elect, predestinated according to foreknowledge of God. And elected unto grace. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You're without spot, without blinkle, without blemish. God hath made you alive forevermore. And these people that tell you that no one can be perfect, don't you pay any attention to that. That's the beast. They're beast. They don't understand. They're talking. They're ignorant. The Bible said they cannot see when good comes. Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes that they can't see good. The Bible said Job was a perfect man. And it says, Mark, the perfect man among you. And the Bible said, be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And the Bible said, go on to perfection. So then, he's coming back after that perfect one. And we're here for the perfecting of your faith, to believe in that perfection, or to believe in his righteousness, is to bring that perfectness in your life. So as you pass from death unto life, you've now been made perfect by him. You're they that are not in the world anymore, having been chosen out of the world. You dwell in heaven. What do we learn in the mysteries? That we made it. Like in the vision when I saw you in the millennium. But we made it. Not aliens, as to the commonwealth of Israel, outside, going from one revival to another, trying to hold on, hypocriting around, half-hearted, having the world, instigating those things in our life, living, depending on our own righteousness, whether it's fasting, praying, or whatever. As it was said to them, away with your fasting and your solemn assemblies, and I'm sick of these things, he said. I want the righteousness which is by God, even the righteousness which is by Christ Jesus, lest your righteousness excel self-righteousness as to your ritualistics of life and your religious activities of life, lest it excels that as to the righteousness of Almighty God, which righteousness is by Christ Jesus, and faith of the sanctification in that righteousness, the faith which is by him, by which all are sanctified, then you don't have any righteousness. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, for if you think as Christ, then are you Christ. If you think as a man, then are you a man. If you think as a beast, then are you a beast. But his mind thought that he was equal with God. And that mind thought that he had all power in heaven and earth. And that mind thought that he could lay down his life and take it back up. And that mind thought that he could bring deliverance. And that mind thought the thoughts that you're supposed to be thinking, because you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and it's no longer you living, but Christ living within you, and the life you now live, Paul said, I live that by Christ Jesus. That mind that was in him thought he was in heaven. He said, Nicodemus, no man has ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. He said, who is in heaven? Even as he talked to him. Let this mind be in you, the humility and the love. This is what makes you gods. Jesus said, you're not men and women. You're gods. Men and women die, but you're passed from death unto life. And gods don't die, generations die, but gods live on. Your gods have begotten you in Christ, the first fruit of them that slept. He was God Almighty, and your members in particular is the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. They'll glorify Christ within you, and God shall suddenly return within you as to his temple to be glorified, whereas he hath returned within you and is Christ in you now. The hope of glory is beginning to radiate out through you, that the life of Christ might be made manifest in your mortal genes. This is going out to the people that they might see it already. So then, where is this mind that's new, that did not care for the world, that did not care for businesses, that did not care for frolics, that did not care for the flesh? Satan, thou savest the things that be of the flesh and the unrighteous mammon. Where is that spirit and mind that said I must be about my Father's business? Cast down every thought, every imagination. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is that mind that said I see always the things that the Father does? I do always the thing my Father tells me to do. See, where is this mind? As you go on considering this mind, you save your life, you're going to lose it. Give it to God, you'll save it. All right, so the end of the world is here. The mischief is being finished. We're learning something that we've come all the way from Egypt, all the way into glory. And Jesus appeared in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who stood in glory and thought he was in glory, and thought he was with Moses and Elijah. Let this mind be in you. He said, I can lay my life down and take it up. That is, I don't have to die. Death hath no power over me, he said. Death hath no power over me. He said, for death is an enemy. It didn't come by God, it come by man. And he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. We pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. How can death hurt us? We can never die. For he that is born of God cannot die, because he cannot sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. Transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of sin is death. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. And where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no sting. And where there's no sting, there's no death. Grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? All of our lives we're afraid of death, subject to bondage because of fear of death. No more, because we cannot die. Let's sing this again, can we? He was here all the time. Can you sing that with me? My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all. Can you sing that with me? My Lord was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time. One more time. Jesus was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time. Waiting patiently in line, he was here all the time, and he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me whole. Sing that with me, Frank. Oh, Jesus, touch me. Oh, he touched me. And or something has happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. You love him? I will praise him. Can you lift up your hands and close your eyes? We'll praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you give him a wave offering, folks? We will give him glory, all he gives. For his blood has washed away us. Sing with me again now. I might have kept you a little bit long, but it's really better when you go to a cafe because it's not so crowded and you can get served better. The Bible said, watch and pray. And while you're out today, be sure you pray. And be sure you watch while you're praying, so that Satan cannot take the advantage of you. Watch and pray. Alright. Him glory. For his blood, just one more time together, we're going to sing it. One more time together, and I